If you were a kid in the Boston area between the late 60s and early 70s, as I was, this was a familiar theme every weekend.
Hoofbeats, 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 thunder across a prairie wide.
Rex Traylor's Boomtown. It aired on WBZ-TV every Saturday morning. Rex Traylor was a real live cowboy who wore a big white cowboy hat and rode a horse named Gold Rush. To kids like me, he embodied the thrill and mystery of the Wild West, right here in Massachusetts. He did trick riding, rope tricks, and sang songs, all before a live audience of local kids.
Well, howdy, kid!
Howdy,
kid! Well, what a big gang we've got here today.
Boomtown was on the air from 1956 through 1974. Now the state legislature is sponsoring legislation to make Rex Traylor the official cowboy of Massachusetts. How have we managed without one for all these years? Well, Rex Traylor came in to visit us on Friday. He's in his 80s now, moving a little slower, but still wearing a big cowboy hat with a stylish cowboy shirt and bolo tie. So I know you've heard this literally thousands of times over the years, but it's sort of a thrill for me to be interviewing you because I was one of those little kids back in the 60s who watched you every weekend morning on Boomtown.
And thank you for that.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you for that. Well, let me ask you about that, because on the one hand, it may seem strange that we had a real cowboy in our midst here in Massachusetts, but we did. Tell us how you acquired your cowboy skills.
Well, that was a long time ago. From the time I was 4 years old, I was on a horse, and that was in Texas at my grandfather's ranch. My grandfather had a habit of hiring cowboys that were rodeo cowboys. They all had their skills, cowboy skills, and they got a big kick out of teaching me everything they knew. Trick riding, roping, trick roping, taught me to play the guitar and cowboy songs and things like that.
Yippee-yi-yi-yo, yippee-yi-yo. He's the roughest critter west of the Alamo. Once Pecos got lost while traveling on the desert. It was 90 miles across the burning sand.
Water.
He knew he'd never reach the border if he didn't get some water. So he took a stick and dug the Rio Grande.
You really learned some real rodeo skills, and you did some real rodeo riding, right?
Not the rough stuff.
Not the rough stuff.
No.
Not riding those crazy bulls. I don't understand how people do that.
Well, I didn't.
And why did you decide to move into TV and away from, you know, the real business of being a cowboy, I guess?
I never left being a cowboy. I'm still a cowboy, and I stepped in enough of it to qualify.
Sure.
When I was with the rodeo, my grandfather had told me, "You're a performer." So there was one time we were playing Madison Square Garden. After the show, somebody came to see me, a fellow by the name of Gabby Hayes. I'll tell you, he was one of the greatest cowboy character actors ever to come along.
I see.
And he came to see me and he said, "Hey, I enjoyed your act. By the way, I have a ranch for kids up in the Catskills. I'd like to have you come up there and work with the kids and teach them." When he mentioned the pay, it was a whole lot better than I was making with the rodeo.
And I guess you'd be risking breaking fewer bones, too, right?
I made out pretty well, even trick riding.
Yeah.
So it was a great time for me to move on. And I got along real well with the kids.
Well, Rex Traylor, let me ask you about Boomtown, because that's how I remember you. You did tremendously impressive things, especially for us kids watching you. You did great cowboy rope tricks. I remember my favorite. You would stand about 10 feet away from a man, and you had a big bullwhip, and the man would be smoking a cigarette, and you could crack that whip and knock the cigarette right out of his mouth, but not touch a hair on his face, right?
Well, that was the idea, not to touch of hair on his face. It was something that I had a lot of practice doing in the rodeos. So when I did it on television, it was nothing to me.
So what was your favorite cowboy trick? What was the biggest crowd pleaser?
In the rodeo, the biggest crowd pleaser was when my horse had to take a dump. That got the biggest round of applause.
You also did some great shooting, and I remember that as a kid, and that was sort of a thrill because anytime you saw a real cowboy with real guns on his hips, it was sort of exciting.
I learned that from the cowboys. I became quite a marksman, and then when I was on the air and Kennedy was assassinated, I figured that was the time to hang up the guns.
They stopped being part of the act on Boomtown, right?
Exactly, yeah. You know, I figured after Kennedy was assassinated, that was the end of the guns.
You know, Boomtown was part of this golden era of relatively early live television. What was special about doing that show? Can you tell me a story about anything that went wrong on a live show or not the way it was planned?
Everything. I remember that we have this bunch of kids there, and all of a sudden, while I was singing a song, I got a tug on my trousers, and I looked down, and there was a little kid. And so I stopped the song, and I said, "Can I help you, son?" And he said, "Rex, I got to go to the bathroom." And I already did on your studio floor.
Oh, boy.
And I told him where the outhouse was.
Right.
And off he went.
And you got back to your song, I hope.
Then I finished the song.
So, Rex, you became an advocate for the mentally retarded, and in the early 60s, you led an actual wagon train right across the whole state of Massachusetts to the State House. How was that received back then? Tell me about that.
I'll tell you. We thought of this idea of having a pioneering effort to promote understanding for retarded children. And pioneers, wagon train, and I was the wagon master.
And you went right across the whole state?
Greenfield to the State House.
Now, it seems to me the pioneers were going from east to west, but you went from west to east, right?
In that particular case, I did, but it was dynamite. I loved it. And we had 18 covered wagons drawn by teams of horses. We'd stop at night, draw the wagons into a circle, and we'd put on a show for the folks who came to visit us.
Fantastic. So now there's legislation proposed to name you the official cowboy of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Quite an honor.
You bet. For a guy from Texas. Are you kidding?
Well, Rex Traylor, congratulations, and thanks so much for coming in to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, howdy there, folks. We're glad to meet you in Boomtown. There's a bunch of folks who'd like to greet you in Boomtown.
Yeah. Rex Traylor was the host of Rex Traylor's Boomtown from 1956 through 1974. There's now a bill on Beacon Hill that would make Rex Traylor the official cowboy of Massachusetts.
Come along, folks, cause we're gonna start the fun and boom, boom, Boomtown. From 6 to 60, there's something for everyone. And boom, boom, Boomtown. So do-si-do.
And now a bit of your feedback on a segment that we did last week that really got you talking.
Last week, we discussed the benefits of a gap year. That is taking a year off between high school and college.
Pep Love writes at RadioBoston.org, "I took more than a gap year, much to the dismay of my parents, and went part-time at night until I selected my major, environmental engineering. Now that I'm a few years post-grad, I can honestly say that it not only made me a better student, but gave me time to develop the confidence I needed to pursue academic and professional interests that put me well ahead of my fellow undergrads."
And TKS wrote this to us, "I took a gap year in 1982 and was advised to keep it secret from the universities to which I was applying, only to defer after acceptance. It was extremely frustrating since I was going on a prestigious study travel program. Finally, gap year programs are being recognized as a year on rather than a year off.
And Simply Monica has this thought. They used to call these things apprenticeships instead of gap years. If corporations weren't shirking their responsibility to educate their workforce, we wouldn't be having this conversation about so many kids fighting to get into college and struggling through it. Thanks so much for your thoughts, guys. Keep them coming at RadioBoston.org.
I've been a wild rover for many a year. Spent all me money.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston.
A 7-year email war between a magazine writer and his fact checker casts an unnerving light on the definition of nonfiction and the nature of truth itself.
Also,
you have this really immediate connection with the audience. You know, in terms of acting, you'd call it tearing down the fourth wall.
A Boston area song circle prepares for St. Patrick's Day.
That's tomorrow on Radio Boston. Our show is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
I went in an alehouse I used to frequent.